Technorama episode 578, insert quarter, press start, and you get this. Hello and welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening, like my cable service provider guy that came by today, he asked, what's the show? We'll talk more about the cable service provider later, but this show is not being streamed or recorded. Donna has a night off because we don't have good upload speeds, but we have enough speed for Craig to join us via audio only.
Yeah.
How are you, Craig?
I'm doing great. My internet is much better than yours, apparently.
It apparently is. This is what gave us problems with Facebook last week. But what's odd is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I was streaming just fine to YouTube. And then Friday, the House of Cards fell apart and it just hasn't gotten any better. So I've been on the phone with Cox Cable Friday and Saturday and Sunday to try and figure out, and Netgear, to find out where this problem is. And oddly enough, it's not my equipment. There is something wrong with the Cox equipment outside my house. You know where all the neighborhood houses plug into the little box in your yard? We checked that. We even pulled off one of the neighbor's cables without telling them and tested that. Their upload speed sucks too. So
I was going to say, I wonder how many other people are having the same problem, but not aware of it.
Nobody cares. They all care about download speed. Nobody cares about upload speed except me because I'm streaming.
Yeah, upload is a unique thing, like for you and I, or whoever is doing like streaming. Yeah, that's a problem.
Or if you're trying to work from home, sometimes, you know, you go, why is this taking so long?
So yeah, I'm syncing this 8 gig file. Why is it taking so long?
it even affected my karaoke on Friday night that Donna and I do. Anyway, so he came by and it was funny because he walked into the studio and he just stopped right at the door. And he didn't quite know what he was looking at.
You're talking about the door to the studio.
The door to the studio.
Yeah.
Which is the two bedrooms converted that Mike Meningay did years ago. And he didn't know what he was looking at. He goes, what are you
doing? And then you realized you left the force field on. You had to turn that off.
I said, on in. It's safe. You won't break anything. He said, what do you do? I said, well, most of this is for podcasts and for what I do at work. He goes, what do you do for work? And we started talking and he saw the two old PCs that I inherited with the house 5 years ago that I'm getting rid of. And he took those off my hands, which was nice. We worked on the cable modem and turned out it wasn't the modem. Then we went outside right to the box. And it turns out it might be the equipment that's in the box. There's like a little circuit board and a metal thing that they own. He says, I'm going to have to open up a ticket. I said, what do you do? I said, I'm the guy who owns the system that you use your tickets on.
So, was he using ServiceNow?
I'm pretty sure Cox is a customer of ours.
I said, maybe.
When you called your boss and he said, submit a ticket, I said, I know exactly what goes on in the back end.
Yeah.
And I write apps on that same kind of platform. So, yeah, it was fun. It was fun. But hopefully in the next day or two, we'll get our streaming issues taken care of. How have you been? Because my weekend has generally been on the downside.
Well, mine's been okay. Went to a five-year-old's birthday party yesterday.
Do you feel old?
No.
Because I went to a seven-year-old birthday party a couple weeks ago, and Donna and I felt like we were out of place because we're old enough to be the parents' parents. And they were having all kinds of conversations that we just really didn't fit. As much as I love my grandnephew and my grandniece, there was an awkward sense there. At least I felt it. I don't know if anybody else did.
No, I'm really there to, it's the kid's birthday, of course, but their kids are all playing and we're just hanging out with other families. So, not really. It's kind of how it goes, but we have a good time with it.
You'll feel the generation gap soon enough.
Never. I'm always going to be 12.
That's what I tell myself too. I act 12,
that's what I get accused of being, acting like a 12-year-old.
And then you start hearing music and go, what is this? Play some good music.
What was that? Oh, I know what it was. Well, during Dog Days of Podcasting, I was like, you know what? I was trying to do something different, watch new things, listen to new stuff. I pulled up Spotify. It's like, let's listen to the new release Tuesday, whatever playlist it was. I started listening. I'm like, I got through like two songs. I'm like, these suck. Who listens to this?
I will say that most of my new music, whoops, I bumped the soundboard on the way back from the mixer. Most of my new music comes through Lisa. I'll listen to it while I'm riding in her car and go, this ain't too bad.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Let her curate it for you.
Yeah. I don't know what she's listening to. One time it was They Might Be Giants, but that was like 8 years ago. So a lot of it sounds similar. So I know it's in that same genre, but
a lot of the stuff I was hearing was like, had the auto tune to the guy's voice. I'm like, what good is that? I want to hear somebody talented to sing, not somebody that needs help to sing from a computer.
You don't want to listen to rap music then, or Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan.
Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce is all right. I've never been a huge fan of Bruce. He's been all right. But
he said a few. Anyway, where are we going with this? Should we do the feedback?
We're just talking. Whatever. Yeah, that's good for it.
This belongs on our Patreon show.
Yeah. Yeah, don't listen. if you want to listen to that.
Let's do the feedback.
Ladders.
Is a step stool a ladder?
Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh boy!
Mailman.
Ding dong.
Mail today.
Yep. It's just a challenged ladder.
Our first ladder is from Yorga.
Yeah.
I got a yoga mail. You got a yoga yoga postcard?
Yeah, I got some yoga too.
Yes, I did. Oh my. What is it from Lillehammer? Yes, he was in Norway. Thank you very much, Yorga. Appreciate it very much. And greetings from Norway, which is usually how we sign ours. Greetings from wherever you are. What does your stamp look like? I'm curious.
I just reached over and grabbed it so I could talk to you about it. It says
is it a little red lighthouse?
It's like a lighthouse.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lighthouse with a red top.
Okay, and how would you pronounce that word on there?
Norig?
Kungskuret?
What are you looking at?
On the bottom, the little white letters. Not Norig, that's Norway. I don't know what that
is.
No,
it says...
right below the lighthouse is sideways.
It's spelled LINDENES.
Oh,
FYR.
See, mine says KJEUNGSKJAE. That's one of those uniletters. RET. Kungskret. Kungskret? I'm going to try that.
I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to you and see if it's the same stamp. It probably didn't sound like it is.
More fun is to try all these names in the history segment in a second.
It's like Lindenus or something like that. Yeah, it's a pretty cool white lighthouse.
Okay. Oh, I got a red lighthouse. Neat. We got different stamps. I love it. Thank you, Yorga. I'm doing some traveling.
Thank you. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I know I've said this before, but I really appreciate these cards, Yorga.
I
know I'm not good at sending them myself. Because to be honest with you, I got a stack of cards that I bought to send, you, Chuck, and Yorga, and I never did.
Even so if you're traveling, it's hardest for me to remember when I travel domestically. It's like, have I sent him one from Michigan? I think so. I'm not sure.
So one day, you and Yorga are going to get about 10 from me right in a row.
I feel really special.
I bought some. That's
funny because our pastor was talking about that. Letters, you feel really special when you get a letter these days in the post because it's such a rare thing. And if it's written by somebody who took the time to put your name, even if it's something as minor as greetings from Norway, that's pretty cool. That this thing.
Well, look at this and then you look at the pictures, which I know some here, obviously. Oh,
do we have the same postcard?
Well, mine has four pictures
in
a quadrant, and then one has like trees with heavy, heavy, heavy snow on it.
Oh, I don't have any snow. Okay.
Then the bottom one, the bottom left has the town, and you can see the town's covered in snow, which is really nice. And then there's some skiers in the top right, and they're all dressed.
You got more of a wintry one than I do.
Looks like they're doing a 5K, but they're on skis. They all have run bibs kind of thing.
I have one that shows a church steeple in a town setting, looking with a backdrop on the hills. I've got one that's nice marble fountain figurehead in a pond next to a looks like some sort of conservatory. I've got another one that's waterfall, like a man-made waterfall fountain, kind of, you know, like the Centennial Park waterfalls in Atlanta, kind of like that, with some buildings or a quad or some kind of thing in the background. And then I've got one from downtown. It looks like I'm gonna be ashamed to say this, but it looks like some sort of sad Oktoberfest. There's like one little white picket fence that sticks out into the street in front of one storefront, and about a dozen people in the whole picture.
Okay,
so they're having fun, but it doesn't look like everybody turned out for that day.
Hey, I'll tell you something else. I don't know if you ever do this, but all these cards I get, I think I've got most of them. I've done this as I scan them into Evernote.
Yes.
So that way, I mean, I can, you know, every once in a while I might happen across it in Evernote and I'll go, oh, you know, I'll skip through, I'll look at a few of them and, you know, it's just, and I keep the card, of course, put away, but I have it in Evernote. So like I said, every once in a while in my search results or whatever, one of them will pop up. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I remember that. And
heck yeah.
You know, yeah. Something neat way to keep track of some of that stuff.
You bet. Thank you, Yorga. And I'll be doing some traveling in Q4, so I will be sending you some. Look forward to those.
So, and be looking forward to about 10 that I'm going to send you right in a row. Oh,
I think I got one from Mark the Encaffeinated, one from his Dog Days thing when he offered to. I didn't pick up mail today, but Donna sent me. She gets a picture from the post office of what we're going to receive. And she sent me one that said, oh, you're getting a postcard from NCAF. And I went, oh, goody. So I got that coming too. I just didn't get it today.
The post office sent you a picture of your stuff?
Yes. They sent her a picture.
I've never seen that offer. What did that, when did they start doing that?
I don't know. Maybe it's a Phoenix thing.
Maybe because you got a mailbox?
Maybe. I don't know. But she gets an email of photographs of the envelopes and addresses and whatnot of what we're getting.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So,
you know what? I did not get Mark to send me one because it was, I finished listening to the podcast like way late, you know, than when Dog Days was over.
That's what you get for being late.
I should have said, hey, you know, it's like 2 months later. Hey, 6 months later, can you send that card?
I was on top of not only my Dog Days podcast, but all my other podcasts. Right until we got to Dragon Con, and then my listening time went out the window. Oh. And now I am about 10 days behind. I've got about 24 hours worth of podcast to listen to.
Yeah, I got a little catching up to do. I mean, I've been doing pretty good keeping up with not the Dog Day stuff, but like in general. I'm thinking about clearing house and changing some stuff up podcast wise.
I figure with the traveling I've got coming up, I can catch up.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Oh, feedback.
Feedback. Yes, we have the Facebook thing. We sent out a question of the week.
Yeah, I forgot to share it.
What fictional universe do you want to live in? We got a lot of good answers on here. Wow. Once again, we have lots and lots of answers. Gary Lindro says, geez, I thought I was in one already. To which he got lots of responses.
Yes, he is.
He's in a fictional universe. That's right.
Yeah.
We have JD Porchlight FM. Not to be confused with JD Porchlight AM. Most of the ones that come to mind are too dangerous. LOL. Middle Earth, Alagasia, nope. Cosmere, etc. I think Narnia was the safest to live in, but these others would be cool too. I don't know if Narnia would, what I would call safe. Michael Slobodnik wants to be in Star Wars. Mike Wills, Harry Potter, definitely not the Sigler verse. No. No, I pass. Agree with you there 100%.
I mean, that's a hard pass.
Former coworker Bob Alexander says, Hetrae, it's H-T-R-A-E, I'm not sure if that's the way you pronounce it or not, the inverse of our current reality, which would pretty much be peace, love, and harmony instead of wars, hate, and discourse we now suffer from. Derek Coward says, the one where I'm a multi-billionaire who didn't suffer from male pattern baldness. Scott Schmelzer says, Lake Wobegon. I guess he wants to go where all the men are strong and all the children are above average or whatever it is. Star Trek, Star Trek.
I thought that was where the Friday 13th stuff took place.
No, Lake Wobegon. Wow.
Crystal Lake, I think it was.
You need to listen to more Garrison Keillor, who's not related to Edith Keillor. Victor Cahill says one where 45 isn't president. Ooh, ow. Scott okay. Tyler, The Forgotten Realms, which is a D&D thing. Good for him. Brad Miller says the Rick and Morty multiverse. I figure that would be your choice as well.
No. Have you been there?
No.
Or have you seen it?
No.
It's a little confusing. I don't know if I want that.
Kelly Cole Scott, who I used to go to karate with, says Downton Abbey, upstairs. I can see that. Joan Witt wants to be above aboard Firefly. All this time, I didn't know Joan Witt, who used to go to our church. It's Brian Witt, Zion Fox's. He's a podcast listener. I know him. I know his mom from our old church. Didn't know she was a Firefly person. The things you learn years later.
Yeah.
Jack Mangan says Dune. I already live in Arizona.
Yeah. Already covered.
Friend Patty says a household where kids don't sass. That's a fictional universe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lots of answers for Trek and Star Wars. Which of those two would you rather be in?
I know Star Trek seems pretty dangerous from time to time.
Not asking you which fandom you're more partial to, but if you could live in one of those, which would you choose and why?
Me?
Yeah.
Flintstones.
I was just thinking about the Flintstones this morning. That's really bizarre. I was going, you know, there is no getting away from the fact that it is a direct ripoff of the Honeymooners.
Oh, no. Yeah, of course it was. But I tell you okay, this is a little embarrassing, but I'm gonna throw it out there anyway. When I was a kid, Fred was an imaginary friend, okay? So it was just because I love the Flintstones.
Was an imaginary friend? Or did you have a toy? Did you what precipitated this?
I don't know. It's just,
you had a brother. Why did you need an imaginary friend?
Have you met my brother? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, maybe he's your imaginary brother.
I don't know. It was just my thing. I don't know. It's just the way it worked out. But yeah, Flintstones. I love the whole thing. You know, they're talking to some of the animals or the dinosaurs, and some of them, you know, it's just the way I loved it. I don't know.
And the car tipping over with the big ribs.
Now, the big ribs. Okay. That is what put me over the edge.
I don't want to go in a car where you have to stop with your feet. Well, that's just brutal. And keeps going by every fourth house.
I love the Flintstones. I like their dynamic. You know, Fred would lose it and then he'd end up, you know, coming around and, you know, fixing things. I don't know. I just, the whole thing, I liked it. But what about you?
From like a fictional verse?
Yeah, which is what we're asking everybody.
Asking you between Star Trek and Star Wars, and you said Flintstones.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you asked me which fictional Flintstones. Oh, that's what. Now I understand why you sound so bewildered.
That's reason I'm bewildered today.
Yeah, well, although Star Wars is probably appealing, I'll probably lean towards the Star Trek universe.
Why?
Because I like the advanced tech and things going on, and it seems a little more hopeful than Star Wars.
That's what I was thinking too. Star Wars has this definite Rebel Alliance versus the Imperial, and that sets the tone for your entire universe. I don't know that I'm more of a utopian kind of guy. Not that Star Trek is utopian, but at least, like you said, there's that hope thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you got a lot of subversive things going on in a lot of the timelines, depending on, you know, if you pick the Voyager. I mean, it's all Star Trek universe, but where you land in that makes a big difference of how things go.
Well, Star Wars, it's a lot of the, you have the, it seems like life seems pretty rough if you're not one of the haves, you know, so to speak. So I don't know. It just seems like life is a lot rougher than it would be in the Star Trek universe. But on the other side, I like the tech. I like the hopefulness, and I don't know. Just it appeals to me a little bit more.
All right.
As long as I'm a cat, As long as I'm a captain.
You want to play Star Trek Online then?
Yeah.
And just do a barrel roll. Like roll a... around. Some forward rolls.
That's right.
All right. That is the end of our feedback. We will be asking you another question of the week at the end of the show. So wait for that. Straight into the history. Oh. On this day in history for October 9, 2019, this is the 282nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. Next year's a leap year. There are just 83 days remaining in 2019. It was on this date in 1410 that witnessed the first known mention of the Prague astronomical clock.
And it was 573 years ago today that the Hangul alphabet is published in Korea.
How'd that go for you? Oh, Hangul. 415 years ago today, supernova 1604 is sighted, the most recent supernova to be observed in the Milky Way galaxy.
And it was also on this date in 1874, that an international post union is created by the Treaty of Bern.
And it burns. Anyway, 83 years ago today, Boulder Dam, later known as Hoover Dam, begins to generate electric city. What is this electric city we're supposed to know about?
And 82 years ago, you and I did a podcast in the behind the scenes at the Hoover Dam.
Well, sometime in the last 83 years. Well, they started transmitting all that electric city to Los Angeles.
And also today, in 2003, Mission Space opens at to the public at Walt Disney World.
2003. I think we were there in 05, and it was still
like
so
long ago.
Yeah, we had fast passes for that back when it was popular. Also, October 9, 2009, the first lunar impact of NASA's Lunar Precursor Robotic Program.
All right, and happy birthday goes out on this date to German mathematician, physicist, and physician Johann Andreas Signer, born on this date in 1704.
I'll go with that as a close enough. German physicist and astronomer Karl Schwarzschild was born 146 years ago today.
And Joseph Friedman, the American inventor, invented the bendy straw, was born 119 years ago today.
Where now would he's killing... modern society be without Joseph Friedman?
I don't know, but the marine life would love it if he didn't have done that.
Oh, now we're getting on bendy straws. First it was the six-pack plastic ring tabs.
Oh, that's, yeah, well.
John Lennon, English singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer, was born on the same date, October 9th, 1940.
And John Entwistle, the English singer-songwriter, bass player, and producer, was born 75 years ago today.
Quick, what band was he in?
The Entwistles.
No.
I'm trying to remember. What was it?
The Who? The Who?
The Who? Oh, okay,
yeah,
The Who.
The Who. American singer, songwriter, guitarist Jackson Browne. He was part of Jackson Browne, I think. Yeah. He was born this day in 1948. We got a lot of musicians today.
That's right. And also turning 65 today is American actor Scott Bakula. What's he known for, Chuck?
The Scott Bakula Band.
Yes. You got it.
And Scott Bakula and the rest of the Enterprise.
Yeah, the Enterprise.
Also born on the same day in 1964, Mexican-American director, producer, and screenwriter, GDT, Guillermo del Toro.
And get this, turning 44 today. Wait, did I skip? No, you got it right. Also turning 44 today is American singer, songwriter, guitarist, producer, and actor, Sean Lennon.
John Lennon and Sean Lennon were born on the same date. There's a trivia question.
I did not realize that.
I didn't until I was putting this together either. And born the same date in 1979, American model and actor Brandon Routh. Superman.
Yes, he's going to be playing Superman again in December. And Irish actor, producer, and screenwriter Chris O'Dowd is 40 today.
And you know him from?
He's from It.
Yes. Did you try turning it off and on again?
Yeah.
Greatest That's line right. in computer comedy today. I will take the IT crowd over Big Bang Theory any day. Anyway.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Listener birthdays today include October 9th, it's Itsuko Rumki. October 9th is also Mario. Mario from Jersey. October 9th is also my youngest daughter Lisa's birthday. October 10th, two birthdays, Victor Cajal and Garrett Rafal. Happy birthday to both of you. Bruce Barr. Wow, here's some names we just have not heard from in a long, long time.
Not since last year.
Well, we haven't said their names. We haven't heard from them in even longer. Well,
that's true.
Victor's on Facebook all the time with a cigar picture or saxophone picture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or both.
Bruce Barr on the 11th. Jason Schwantz on the 13th. And I need to check how much time we have left, if we're going to fade out or we're going to play out. I think we can play it out. So if you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, go over to Technorama.com/... ChuckChat.com/wiki. And that will bring you to the wiki. Put your name on there. If you're on there, happy birthday to you this week. If you're not, happy birthday to you anyway. We wish you all the best. And we want to wish you a happy birthday when it gets to be your special time of the year. So... happy birthday to you. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Get your name on there. And here comes the ending of the parade. Yay. Look, it's Robot Santa.
Yeah, there he is.
Yes. We should play this music the whole parade. Take it away, boys. Yeah. That's the way it was on this day in history for October 9th, 2019. Many words for the song. Today. Love the latency.
Yeah.
All right, we have
good news, everyone.
You want to take the first one?
Sure.
Fire away.
And no, this is not DC's Birds of Prey movie coming out, but NASA announces first all-female spacewalk.
Awesome.
After spacesuit controversy. So the first all-female spacewalk is back on 6 months after suit sizing flap, which, not talking about a flap on the suit per se, led to an embarrassing cancellation. NASA announced Friday that the International Space Station, two women will pair up for a spacewalk later this month. Astronauts Christina Koch and newly arrived Jessica Meir will venture out on October 21st to plug in new upgraded batteries for the solar system. I thought that I just read that they did
the
that.
Solar system. The solar system runs on batteries.
I'm sorry. I saw a solar power system, not solar system. Sorry. It will be the fourth of five spacewalks where the battery were. Okay. I just read a story about the batteries. That's why I was confused about the date. The first is Sunday. Today, when we're recording this, Koch will go out with Andrew Morgan. Koch was supposed to do a spacewalk with another female crewmate in March, but NASA had to scrap that plan just a few days in advance because there wasn't enough time to get a second medium-sized spacesuit ready. The second medium was put together on board in June. So NASA's deputy chief astronaut, Megan MacArthur, told reporters that the all-female spacewalk will be a milestone, but she noted that women are so integrated in all levels of NASA now, they don't tend to dwell on gender so much. Now.
Good.
So I think that's a great thing because and I see women in NASA all the time. So
yes,
you know, one, I think yes, it kind of should be pointed out, but other time it's kind of like the norm now, which is good.
I agree.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I was confused about the battery story because I'd read just earlier. I thought they said they installed some batteries, but I guess they're doing several. So yes.
When you mentioned the flap, all I could think of was Crazy Joe's song about "Don't Open It, It's a Trap."
Yeah. Well, I was thinking Long John's with a little flap in the back.
Right. You know, yeah. With the backdoor flap. Okay. Yeah. We have another news story about another woman from CNN. Could you survive for an entire year without access to Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, or any other app?
Sometimes I feel like I could.
What if someone paid you a whopping $100,000 to do it? Elena Mugdan, a 29-year-old fiction writer from Queens, New York, has taken up that challenge in hopes of landing a big payday. In December, Vitamin Water chose Mugdan, I don't know how you pronounce your last name, but we're going to go with Mugdan, because it's M-U-G-D-A-N, from a pool of more than 100,000 applicants, if y'all submitted a dollar, it would work, for their scroll free for a year challenge. If she can get an entire year without using a smartphone or tablet, she gets the money. So she is a young adult fantasy author who's excited to put down her phone for a year. There's a Twitter picture from Vitamin Water, and finish her book series, or at least find more creative ways to procrastinate, given her followers. And got a picture of her doing some cosplay, which is kind of cool. To ensure her she plays fair, Vitamin Water replaced her iPhone 5S with a Kyocera flip phone that she can only use to call and text. The beverage company plans to give her a lie detector test in February 2020 when the challenge ends. So it's already been going on for quite some time. I didn't realize that. I thought this was a new thing that she's just starting. During the challenge, she's limited to her flip phone, laptop, or desktop computers and voice-activated devices that aren't smartphones like an Amazon Echo. I think if you still had access to a laptop and desktop, I think it wouldn't be so difficult to give up your phone.
That's what I was thinking. I was reading this. I was like, well, don't you just have your laptop or your computer or desktop computer?
There are.
Because if you do.
Yeah. Well, there are some apps that don't work quite so well on the desktop. Like, have you tried using Instagram on a desktop? It kind of blows. It's not meant
for
the desktop.
You can't upload images.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing. And even, it's not made even, for.
Yeah. So it is like targeted specifically at mobile. So I'm not that married to Instagram. In fact, it's an afterthought every time I post a picture to Facebook. I go, why don't I just put that to Instagram and then it would go to both? So
I like it. Instagram's fine and I like it, but I don't think about it as much as I should or do. So yeah, but you know what? If I had access to even just my computers, but not necessarily the phone, I'd get that 100,000 in an instant. I would not be able to not be a problem.
I think your social life would probably improve too. You wouldn't be out to dinner and pull out your phone.
I try not to do that now. If I sit down at dinner, I do leave it in my pocket.
I'm guilty.
Really?
I'm guilty. I was looking at my phone in church today, but I'm running the sound booth so I can get away with it.
Sure. Yeah, but seriously, when I go out with my family, I try to leave it in my pocket until we're done, you know, and we're leaving or something like that. So I do have a watch on.
I think if I had an iPhone 5S, I'd give it up anyway. I'm sorry. That's a really old phone.
I know. Yeah. No, now she can afford a new upgrade.
For $100,000, you can get almost an iPhone 11.
Almost. Just barely. Yeah.
Well, no, if you want an extra charger, you're not going to get it.
Yeah, but I could work around it. You know, I'd probably print some stuff off, like if I had to go somewhere or that kind of thing. But I don't know. But there are some things that that when you're traveling, it does make coordinating much easier.
Yes. Although if Donna were, if she were at my disposal, I could call her and have her organize a lot of this stuff. Like, hey.
Text Lisa and say, you know, effort. Wait, I know. You know what? I could totally do it. You know what you could do?
I would say traveling would be the hardest part. You're right. Because, you know, there's a lot of times where I need to know what's the next flight because I got done with work early.
Yes.
After being to San Jose a million and a half times, I know what the flight schedule is on a daily basis. Like, oh, I got to work at, noon. Can I get on the 2:25 instead of the 4:30? Or I got out of work at 3. Can I get that 4:30 instead of the 6:35? So it's like
I have a solution. What you should do is carry around your little MiFi and an Echo Dot.
You know, your smartwatch wouldn't be much use without your phone either.
My smartwatch, yours too, will get on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. But it's not going to be of much use in terms of
but
you're not gonna get any alerts.
But get this, you take your MiFi and you turn it on and you get one of those battery powered Echo Dots so you can just carry it around.
Where have you seen questions. No, they said you can't use an Echo Dot.
Did they?
It said
mobile device.
It said where did it end? During the challenge, she's limited to her flip phone, laptop, desktop, and voice activated devices that aren't smartphones like an Amazon Echo. You're right. You're right.
Oh, okay. See?
So you could use that.
You would.
Where have you seen a battery-powered Echo?
Did Amazon not make one? It was like a Bluetooth speaker. It had Echo in it.
I thought so. I haven't seen that.
Amazon portable Echo speaker.
She did say getting away from the smartphone has been freeing and has opened my eyes and made me more aware of some of my other bad health habits, like going for a walk or, you know, I actually, when I need to drop a few pounds, that's where the mobile device comes in really, really handy. Because I'll scan.
But just set it down on a desk and lose your couple pounds.
I'll scan the bread or I'll take a picture of the meat and all that information is added for me already. So I'm not trying to manually figure out how many calories to eat, how many sugars
to eat. I thought you meant like I need to lose a couple pounds. Just set the phone down.
Plunk. No, that's the old 1984 brick phone.
Hey, look at this. I'm going to set my Motorola down.
Oh, the desk broke again. All right, let's go on to more space news, shall we?
Yeah, we beat that. We beat that in the ground.
Please.
All right, so speaking of hitting the ground, Japanese Hayabusa 2
spacecraft. Wait, we worked on this when we talked to Dr. Pamela Gay. I told you to remember how to say this. I specifically pointed it out in our live show.
Hayabusa.
Hayabusa. It's like Hiawatha, only Hayabusa.
That's what I said.
That's not even close to what you said.
Okay. Japan's Hayabusa 2 spacecraft drops off its last robot on the asteroid Ryuga. Rogu sounds like some kind of Italian dish.
No, that's Ragu.
Ragu.
This is Ryugu.
Japan's Hayabusa 2 spacecraft has been hanging around the asteroid Rogu for more than a year, dropping off robots. They're invading and blasting.
Hey man, I got some robots to drop off at the pool.
Yeah. And hitting the surface with metal slugs. The Japanese Space Agency hopes to bring Hayabusa 2 and its precious cargo of asteroid samples home soon. But first, there's just one more robot it needs to deploy. It's the T-1000. What'd you say?
It's liquid metal.
Yeah, liquid metal. The Hayabusa 2 carried several robots with it to Rugu and JAXA. Well, this sounds like they're really trying to trip me up here. Confirms that the spacecraft released its final robotic explorer last night. The Minerva 2-2-2-1-2.
Yeah, it's like II 2. I'm not sure what.
Yeah, II 2.
I squared. I'm not sure how you're supposed to read that.
Yeah, the rover began its descent from an altitude of about 1 kilometer, but 0.6 miles, but it won't reach the surface until early next week. After releasing the lander, the Hayabusa 2 will move back up to a higher orbit to monitor the robot's progress. And there's a picture of the Minerva 2-2 in the article, in case you want to see it.
Minerva's 2-2? What?
Yeah, it's got a little pink 2-2 on. The first robotic explorers consisted of Minerva 2-1A and 2-1B, and they were quiet. They weren't quite rovers. These drum-shaped robots had motors that allowed them to hop along the surface. That's what I thought. They would hop around, taking photos and gathering temperature data along the way. This helped the JAXA understand the structure of Ryuga. Now, Minerva 2 is the third distinct type of robot aboard the Hayabusa 2. Well, why don't they just say the orbiter? Again, it's mobile, but calling it a rover is a bit misleading. Minerva 2 is a drum-shaped, like its precious Minerva explorers, but it's larger than they were. I think it's actually below it. Shows the descent module, which is, yes, that is above it, containing Minerva 2. And below you can see what it actually looks like. And it looks like almost like a little satellite or something, that you would see, like a miniature satellite. Anyway, so there you go. It's coming on down, and it should be there again sometime next week. I guess it's making a very slow descent, so it doesn't like smack into the
asteroid. You gotta go in an elliptical orbit that slowly brings you in.
I'm curious to know what they really find of this, because they've really been studying this thing hard, it seems like.
They've been studying a lot of asteroids really hard. and learning a lot about this stuff, because the more you know about the asteroids, the better we might be at getting rid of them should they decide to come crashing into Earth.
That is, I'm sure, a good side effect because, well, it depends because they're all made up of different stuff from time to time.
They
right?
are made. There's stony, there's metallic, and then there's the rubble pile. And that's what we're finding out on some of these is it's just a loose collection of rocks. And if you took the approach of, we'll just send up a rocket and put an engine on the asteroid and it'll push it out of the way. Well, if you just have this loose collection of gravel, your engine's going to go and slowly sink right into the middle. Yeah, it's going to go right through it and go, well, that was interesting. It'd be like trying to push a pile of rice. It's not going to go where you want it to go.
Until we get tractor beams and repulsor beams, I don't know what else you're going to be able to do for something like that. What was that?
You could blow it to bits, but then you're just going to have 1,000 little ones after you.
Well, that's better than one big, I don't know.
Maybe.
But remember, we saw one article, they were talking about painting them and letting the heat from the sun actually change its trajectory. That was one way to deal with it, but I don't know how effective that is. Anyway.
I don't know. Let's talk about something even cooler. Well, something also cool.
Yes.
From Grenoble, France. This is from abc7.com. A man paralyzed from his shoulders down is now able to walk using a mind-controlled robotic suit. This is straight out of Aliens. It may sound like science fiction, but it really happened in France. The man, identified only as Thibault, severed his spinal cord after falling from a balcony. University of Grenoble researchers implanted recording devices in his head and can transmit signals into movements, which are then executed by a robotic exoskeleton. For 2 years, Thibault has been using a video game avatar to help it understand his thoughts. Over the course of the study, he was able to walk the distance of more than 1.5 football fields. Scientists say the technology is an experimental treatment that could help others after it's improved. This is cool.
It is. And there's a little video. You can see a little bit of the story at the top in the embedded video of him walking around. And it is pretty fantastic. I don't know. This, you know what? One question that pops up in my head for these kind of things. So when I'm watching this and he allowed them to do surgery to put this in his head so they could read the signals and
you'd have to,
move it. All right. So what happens when this is over?
What do you mean when it's over?
Do they remove it out of his head or does he get to keep this kind of thing?
Maybe he's got like a DB15 on his head and they can just keep the wires in his head and just detach it at the port.
DB15. Why don't they go for USB-C?
I don't know.
I'm just asking, when this kind of study is over, does he get one of these
screws to make a solid connection?
No, but what happens after this? Does he get to keep one of these at home or is he got to we're taking it out now and remove it from his head?
He's going on talk show circuit. He's got to make his sponsorship. He's got to go get money for these people.
I'm asking a serious question here.
I'm trying to find ways to make money back. That's serious.
Sure. I don't know. Just wondered to do something as invasive as put something on your brain.
Yeah, that's pretty invasive. But they have cochlear implants too, so they're going into people's brains all the time trying to improve their hearing.
Yeah. I don't know. I just wondered, does he get one of these to go to the house? That kind of stuff.
Hang on, honey. I'm going to get the groceries.
One out for a pack of cigarettes.
And he shows up at the FIFA tournament in Russia.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That was the Mexican guy. This guy's from France. He's got less of a travel.
This is pretty cool, though.
This is really cool.
There's been some great advances in that. We've seen some prosthetics, just arms and stuff. People are controlling with their hands. Well, even 3D printing them. I mean, for crying out loud, you can just do it at home if you're, so inclined.
This would
pretty
be
cool.
Just imagine how liberating this would be if you were paralyzed, and you were confined to a wheelchair, or even worse, quadriplegic, And they said, you know what? We can put some wires in your head and you can walk again. You can do a whole bunch of other stuff. Like that.
Well, that's what I was getting at.
Really awesome.
Did you give him this kind of, you know, he obviously would be a little excited because he's walking around. He's able to do these things or start to do things. After this is over, does he get to keep one?
Who says it's over? I mean, what's over look like? Maybe part of the agreement was if you want to be the guinea pig, you can keep it if it works.
Yeah. Well, I would hope so.
I'd hate to
take his mobility away after. All right, we're closing shop.
We didn't get our Kickstarter money. You're screwed.
We were unsuccessful. Yeah, sorry to tell you. Anyway, nonetheless.
Let's move on. We do this show on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and usually there's a live stream to accompany. We invite you to join us. Go over to the Technorama podcast page on Facebook. Subscribe, and you'll get a notification when we do stream, which we couldn't do this week because of bandwidth issues out of our control. And sometimes there's people that join us there. We very, very much appreciate it. Which brings us to Remember When, right?
Yes.
Okay. Where did Pocket Computer... Oh, should we play the music? We should play the music. Where is it? There it is. Okay. All right. So over at Hackaday.com, what did you find?
I found something interesting. I always thought these were pretty cool, the little TRS-80 pocket computer. Well, it's Pocket, but it's that little, what's the name of it? The PC-1? Anyway, so...
Model 100.
The Model 100. So they're talking about where this article over at Hackaday is talking about. Where did pocket computing start? And this is a good starting point right here. So as a smartphone in 2019 is an essential piece... everyday equipment, unless you're some fantasy writer who's trying to win $100,000. Many of you probably reading this page on a smartphone, and it will pack a very significant quantity of computing power in your pocket. Pocket computing has a long history stretching back decades before the mass adoption of smartphones, though. And Paleontronic is an interesting. Paleontronic has an interesting retrospective of the early history, and it's another blog which we're talking about. So this piece starts off with the Radio Shack PC-1, a rebadged Sharp with a calculator-style keyboard, and has one line alphanumeric display, and then continues to the legendary TRS-80 Model 100, to the era of the Palm Top. It is a difficult subject to cover in its entirety because, yes, there are so many different things that came along the way because there's been so many milestones in pocket computing path. But it's interesting to read, nevertheless, as it successfully evokes the era of when a 300-baud connection via acoustic coupler was a big deal. I remember getting my first 300-baud modem. That was pretty cool. So anyway, go over there and have a look. And actually, they're talking about... I should have linked directly to the Paleontronic website, but for everything. But I had the Sharp EL... Was it 5500?
Started with the Radio Shack PC-1 because there were lots of programmable calculators back then.
Well, no. If I go to the article, so the Sharp is probably one of the bigger ones because you had BASIC on it.
I'd say the TI ones were... Oh, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, that thing.
Yes. So if you go through I'm going to actually link to the article over there.
It did have a keyboard, like a...
Yes.
Kind of. And
it had BASIC.
I
wrote programs on that thing. That was great.
Yeah, that was a horrible editor, wasn't it?
It was not great, but yes, and it was interesting.
Casio had something similar.
I can't go without saying when I've written basic programs with remark statements that had the answers to tests.
No longer science fiction. The PC compatible Palm Top arrives courtesy of Hewlett Packard, the 95LX. I had one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. These were really cool.
Darn cool.
It was cool. Yeah, like I said, I wrote a basic program and put remark statements and would have the answers to tests in there. You can just scroll through.
I got rid of so many of these 5 years ago when we moved.
By the way, the Model 100 was a fantastic computer. It was really a good word processor. And I know up until obviously the time when smartphones really started getting good. I know there were some reporters that were still taking this around before laptops really got smaller and stuff. Because this thing would take only, what, some AA batteries.
Right.
And you could sit there and type on it. It's great. So,
and it was like a keyboard connector. It was like a DIN 5, two DIN 5s that you could hook up an acoustic coupled modem. It didn't have a modem on board, but you could hook one up.
And now, see, that was truly portable. Because you could throw that in the backpack.
It had a DB25 serial port, so it made a decent terminal too. We used these when I worked at Plexus for a long time as just ways to go around and diagnose or fix or program whatever they were doing with the I think there were data collection terminals for the manufacturing equipment once upon a time. So I mean this is old stuff, but it was sturdy stuff. I think I told you the story about the. When I worked at Computerland in college, there was a guy who the old compact portable twos. Remember the luggables?
Yes, I used to work on them.
Those things were notorious for dead power supplies. We had a constant supply of power supplies for people who had bought these things, and then like a year or two later, they needed a replacement. So they were being replaced under warranty, so it didn't cost us anything. But we did have to go out and do service calls on these, and one of them, I had about an hour drive from Marquette to Munising, Michigan, and then about another hour drive to get across a ferry to Grand Island and then drive through these dirt washout rut roads for about 7 miles to the north end of Grand Island where there's a lighthouse. Because this guy from the East Coast, I want to say Boston or New Hampshire or something, out in New England somewhere, he would come to the lighthouse on Grand Island and write his books. He was an author, okay. and this is what he did. Yep. And then he would drive that hour back into town in Munising, which happens to be where Julie is living right now. And it's really bizarre having this much childhood history that my kids are also in these same places, which isn't near where they grew up. But he would come back and he would hook up to a pay telephone via acoustic coupled modem, and you put the sucker cups on the earpiece and the mouthpiece, and he would send his work back to wherever it was in New England. So,
Worktopia.
this was real early remote computing. So he could
write on the portable two. You said he was doing that.
Well, the portable two was used for something else. I can't remember what he was using that for, but he was using the Radio Shack Model 100 as part of his. Workflow.
Now the portable twos were great, but it was like carrying around a suitcase, you know, and it had like a full size PC,
a full size keyboard.
You were talking about the power supply going bad. It was like full size PC power supply in there. It was huge.
And it was
a little smaller.
They
maybe,
had
but.
Full height PC slots in that thing. It basically was a PC with a 9-inch monitor attached to it.
Yeah,
or
had
maybe
two
it was
slots.
Seven or five, a CRT.
Yeah.
I mean, they were.
Had two slots and had a 5 1/4 drive.
Yeah.
And you could get, and later on they had a hard drive. So you can get a hard drive and a floppy. I even saw a picture here of a one with a three and a half inch drive.
Ooh. So,
yeah. I did have a compact portable three for a little while. That was kind of neat.
Oh, my goodness. I had a K-Pro 4. Oh, wait, we took that apart when you were here.
Yeah, you had.
The motherboard is still on the wall behind me, and the CPU is in front of me. So, yes, it still lives on in the studio.
You're ambiance. Like a cannibal, and you're spreading out your kill for all to see.
That's right. Hang my skins on the wall proudly.
Oh, wait, I think you were talking about the portable one had two full-size drives in them. Huge. Portable one had the big drives, and they were sideways.
Yeah, the portable two had them stacked.
They were the portable two. They were 5 1/4, you know, side regular full size drives, but they were side by side.
The compact had the full heights that were stacked on top of each other. Oof, and full of mouse hair too. Whatever was in there. Alrighty,
I've done some work in vet clinics. I've seen plenty of hair in computers.
That keyboard was something else, wasn't it? And the fact that it had stickers and a phone number you could call for support inside the thing. Anyway.
The phone number was not any
good.
We
still have a photo album with a photo breakdown of that. Let's do our Patreon patrons since we are nearing the end of the show. Thanks to our patrons that make this show possible. You help offset the cost of doing this show with hosting and bandwidth and software upgrades, which I did this weekend, which might have broken something, but we'll go on to that another time. Thank you very much to the likes of Kyle Nishioka. Appreciate it very much. Thank you, Abner Braverman. Thank you, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford. Thank you very much. Leon. Thank you. John Noble.
What? That John Noble.
Our John Noble. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media. Thank you, Steve Therian, Jorge Schrawin, our postcard man international, John Miller Jr., Amber Elstad, I think Harold McKinstry. We got to check if we can get him back on board. I think he lapsed, but hopefully he's still out there listening and finding this informative, if not mildly entertaining, that we can get him to sign up again. Amy Bowen, thank you very much. Denise Inglis, Stephen Wetchie.
Wetchie?
Wetchie. Yes. Dean Jensen. I sound like I'm saying it in some foreign language, right? Thank you, Mr. Craig Steppy. Dandy Man Coyer, NCAF1, and Matt Baum. NCAF1 would be our other postcard man. We have to go get the postcard. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. If you want to be part of this, you can go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast for as little as a dollar a show. A dollar a show. You can help this show in immense ways. We have space for you on the roster. You get a shout out on the show with our undying gratitude. And you get special content in a special feed.
Hey, trust me, it's a deal.
It is a deal.
That's right.
For somebody. Patreon.com/technoramapodcast. We'd love to have you on there. All right, let's fade that out. Hit the abort key two or three times to make sure it really dies. And Craig, you added something.
I texted you earlier and said I added something.
Okay.
Do we have time for it? If we don't have time for it, we can move on.
Oh, go for it.
Okay. So I saw the Joker this weekend, or Joker. I saw that this weekend.
The movie, no the spoilers. Character, cosplay.
The movie.
Oh, okay.
The movie with Joaquin Phoenix. And I'm not going to obviously spoil anything because it just came out this weekend. But I do want to say, one, Joaquin Phoenix did a fantastic job with that movie.
Is he related to River Phoenix?
Yes, it was his brother.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. He did a great job as Joker. It was like a character study almost, the movie. I'm not going to say it was a happy-go-lucky film because obviously we're talking about the Joker here, but it kind of give you a back-end view of where he came from, or at least this version of him, you know, where he came from and how he got to where he was at. And I thought it was actually a fantastic film. And some of the choices they made with Joker, you know, having it the way he laughs and the reason he laughs, and you'll see that in the movie. I'm not going to tell you any more about that, but that kind of stuff, some of the choices you were like, oh, wow, that was really insightful. I think they did a great job making things work.
Did he reinvent the character?
To some degree, yeah, I would say so. Absolutely. It's not like a Joker you've seen before. Not okay. Quite exactly. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's not like Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah, Heath really put a new stamp on that character.
Yeah. Like, for example, this is obviously no spoiler. He would laugh, and when he would laugh, it was almost like it was hurting him and kind of choking at the end of it. So he'd laugh so hard, you could hear him, you know, kind of choke it back a little bit at the end. Things like that. There were a lot of good, there's a reason why he's laughing and he's, you know, in inappropriate times, and I'm not going to go into it, but yeah, they give reasons for some of this stuff, and you go, wow, that really, it really shone some light on him. And for a time, I really was feeling bad for the guy, you know, but you have to see the movie and see what we're talking about. But yeah, I can totally recommend the Joker.
All right.
That was great. I don't think there's any plans for sequels or anything. It's one of DC, I don't know if they actually called it DC Black, which is really more of an adult version of their characters. It's a one-off kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what Joker is.
All kind of right.
Like, yeah.
You know what? But I think that Trump's our next article, which is really long and full of opinions from each of the other articles. So
look at this. I'm going to do.
We'll leave it in there. We could leave it in there.
Oh, you want to leave it in there?
We can leave it in there for the people who want to go to the show notes over at chuckchat.com/technorama. Look for episode 578. And you'll see the article, What Would It Take to Shut Down the Entire Internet? Which sounds like a terrorist plot, but it's not. We just have people over at, what was it, Gizmodo? Yeah, Gizmodo.
I guess it would be Cox Internet, right, Chuck?
No, that doesn't shut it down. It just stops you from uploading anything.
Well, that was the next part of their plan against you, was to shut down your internet.
We're going
to
just squeeze very slowly till you choke.
Yeah, All right. That's right.
Our question of the week this week is, what brings you extreme nostalgia? Well, that's a good question.
The Flintstones.
There he goes. Bonnie? No, Wilma! That's what it was.
Yeah. Like you said, all those things.
We'll post that sometime next week and see what you say. In the meantime, we appreciate your support. You can go over and give us a call on the listener line if you've got a question about the nostalgia or anything else. 707. Let's play the music as we do this. That's more fun.
I'm looking for Bruce Barr to call in. If you know Bruce Barr or his whereabouts,
hopefully
tell him to call in.
Still okay and still out there. We don't know if he's listening, but if you know where Bruce Barr has gone, you could let us know or just nudge him. 707-530. Maybe he has the old number programmed into his phone. It's not 206 anymore. 707-530-2428. 707-530-CHAT. You can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. And if that nice young man from Cox Cable is out there, we'd love to hear from you, too. Thank you for all your help today in determining that I don't need to buy a new cable modem. Find all this information, including other links and the Patreon one, at chuckchat.com. That's just how it sounds. chuckchat.com/technorama. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. Even if you don't like it, tell them. It's more fun. It's like, smell this. It smells awful. Okay. Ugh. And give me a binary high five, Craig.
101.
What's that smell?